to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Valentine.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Valentine Show.
All right, welcome to the second half of the show today. Let's talk a little bit about heritage on the second half of the show today. Let me ask you something. What ethnicity are you? Black? African-American? White? Latino? Asian? What are you? White isn't an ethnicity. Black isn't an ethnicity. But that's what we claim to be. So what do you claim as your heritage? What do you claim as your heritage? See, this is a very interesting topic for a lot of different reasons, because a lot of people claim stuff, not understanding what they're really claiming. So I'm always curious. What's your heritage? What do you believe? So let's talk about heritage for a minute. Now, scientifically and biblically, if you believe the Bible, if you believe biblically, the Word of God is the truth. Every person on this earth came from Adam and Eve, which means everybody has the same heritage. Everybody's the same. If you believe in science, everybody came from one single cell in Africa. Everybody's related. Everybody has the same heritage. So how did we get to this point? Right here. How did we get to this point, this moment, this time, place? Right here. Y'all realize when this earth that we live on was being developed and made, that many of the continents were connected together, just about all of them. And so you didn't have these big seas in between Africa and Europe, Africa and Asia. You realize that, right? And so you had this mixture of all things going together and being together. But it was something that happened during this time that changed the direction of how one would look in the world we live in today. Okay? See, you had a group, let's just call them human beings. I'm not going to even put an ethnicity there. You had a group of people who, while they were connected in the landmass, they went up into the Russian part of the landmass where it was much colder. And this in particular group, over time, just like any animal, adapted to its surroundings. Meaning that if it went up there with a large open nose, over time, it would become a skinny, more pointed, more closed nose. Its hair follicle would change because it would need its hair to be longer to insulate. Okay? Scientifically speaking. Just scientifically speaking, if you're in a colder environment, you don't want a more open nostril passage. You don't want shorter hair. You want longer hair to be able to protect, right? You're not in the sunlight the way you would be if you're in Africa, right? So over a course and period of time, your skin color, your hair texture, your eye color, your facial features will all change. Even though you come from the same place as everybody else. Because look, listen to what I said now. If you believe in the Bible, we all came from Adam and Eve. We all know, biblically speaking, everything that took place in the Bible happened in what? Africa. Whether you want to call it the Middle East, which is Northern Africa, or Africa, whatever you want to call it. It all came from in that cradle of civilization. Scientifically, it all came from Africa. So no matter how you look at this, biblically or scientifically, you were created in Africa. And so, scientifically speaking, and I know this to be genealogically true, and you can look at most, if you look at most mammals that are here today, they've adapted. This is why you don't see elephants with big horns coming out their nostrils anymore. Adaptation. Smaller. Even mankind, if you think about man, look in your lineage and how much taller and bigger each generation is previous to the generation before it. Man adapts because we're mammals. By genetics, we will adapt. I give you a perfect example of this, right? How many of you have ever been to Vegas? If you've ever been to Vegas, the first day you in Vegas, if you're there for more than 3 days, the first day you get off that plane, Vegas is like walking in hell. This the hottest place you ever been in your life. You're like, what is wrong with these people? Who could want to live here? It's 115 degrees when I get off the plane. You just like, it is hot for no reason here. It feels like a sauna. By the third or fourth day, it don't even bother you. You're like, yeah, it's a little hot. You know why? Your body didn't adapt it. And the longer you stay there, the more and more and more and more your body will change. To the point where you'll realize it's hot, but it don't bother you the way it did when you first get off that plane. See, this happens all the time. We don't even realize it, though. We don't realize it. Your hair even changes, right? If you look, I've lived in Atlanta, Chicago, LA, DC. My hair in Chicago was thicker than it was when I was living in Atlanta. It changes. We don't think about that like that, though. We don't think about it. And so, when you think about everybody coming from the same place, if the continents are connected and you go into the cold, over time, whoever's up there, they're going to change. They're going to adapt. We come back. We'll talk more about this. You're listening to WB.
not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist. What?
Post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we're still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one truth fighter in America.
All right, so talked about how the continents were together. I talked about how when you go up, scientifically, your body's going to adapt. Your body's going to change. All right? Now, what started to happen is you started to have the mixture of different looking people. They were the same people, but they were different looking because of the regions that they were in, whether you know, was up at the top, down at the bottom, in the middle, over to the left, over to the right. Over time, you had started to adapt and change. And these mixtures started to take place. Then the continent spread apart. And so you had this mixture of different looking people who really were the same people. And then they started to put ethnicity on all the different peoples. Now, what's funny is this. The color black didn't even exist in the lexicon of language until the 1600s, 1700s. The concept of black wasn't black. It was Moor. Now, to be honest with you, the Moors is a mixture of a bunch of different things. You're talking about Arabic. You're talking about Spanish. But Berber, B-E-R-B-E-R, look this up. This was a true African tribe that really, this is what a Moor is. A Moor is a mixture of an African, a Spaniard, and an Arab. And see, you had all these different mixtures of people because of the adaptation of how they were living. Okay? And so man is the one who start putting ethnic tags on each other. You're this, you're that, you're this. Then it became about claiming where you're from. I'm from Ireland, so I'm Irish. I'm from France, so I'm a Frenchman. And so they started to put the classifications of ethnicity, race, and then just like the laws that we have today. They'll create a law and then create a definition for the law. And then it becomes what everybody knows to be the law of the land. Now, even during this time, you had men fighting each other. Men have been fighting each other since the beginning of time. And one of the things that they would do when they fought, the victors of war, the spoils, they would kill the men and take the women and kids. They would enslave them. The idea of one group being better than another group did not exist. They fought. Whoever won took the spoils of war. Okay? It wasn't until the Catholic Church said, no, it's okay to enslave the African. as a nation, as a group. Now, somebody just asked a good question. How do you explain the different birds on the planet? Well, it's all according to what you believe in. It's all according to what you believe in. If you believe biblically, these are God's creations. These are things that he drew and created in his thought, mind, spirit, image, whatever you believe. If you believe in science, you believe in it was a Big Bang. And from this Big Bang, all these different things were developed. All these different microbodies came together and atoms came together and created these different things. So it's really based on what you believe. But see, I'm trying to give you a little backdrop because, see, when people talk about their ethnicity, right? Like, I hear people talking, I'm Scottish, I'm Irish, I'm this. Do you even know your lineage, your history about how, you know, you used to fight each other and then when you ran out of food, you would eat each other? You know, they always depict black people as the ones, the Africans being the ones that's cannibals, right? They would show, even on the Woody Woodpecker cartoons when we was kids, in the old cartoons, they would show the Africans trying to put somebody in the pot to cook them. You remember the big pot? They had a fire going on the cartoon. But the reality of it is that white ethnic groups were the ones who was actually cannibals. They were the ones who were actually cooking and eating each other. It wasn't us. But they made it look like it was us. And so when people claim, well, I'm this group and I'm that group and I'm this group and we're better than this and we're better than that. Well wait a minute. Let me talk to you a little bit about your lineage and about the history of your lineage. Because if you really understand your lineage, right? Then you would understand that it's not a race that's better than any other race. Somebody's talking about Darwinism here. Now, that's a very interesting. Darwinism is a very interesting theory, number one. It's a crazy as hell theory, but it's interesting that he was able to convince people that this was actually a good thing. But it shows you how important it was for a race of people to be considered better than another race. Now, when we come back, I'm going to explain to you in the most simplistic manner why some white people have a problem with black people. And it's a very simple reason why. You're listening to WB.
There's so many young people dying in the streets, and education is a way to change that and opportunity. Mr. President, how do we emphasize this?
Well, look, the most important thing starts with parenting. Talking to young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine. Coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the Truth Fighters in full effect right now.
All right. So, I told you I'm going to give you a very simplistic reason why some white folks have a problem with people of color, especially black folks. It's as simple as this. It's not that they just hate us. It's not that. You know what it is? It's not even that they want to be us. It's the fact that we are the one thing that can make them extinct. Because when you mix black with them, it's black. It's not white. It's black. See, the problem that the white supremacists and the alt-right have is the race mixing. And the reason they have a problem with the race mixing is because it wipes them out. It removes them. This is why they don't want to mix. They don't even want to mix with Asians. Because it removes them. And so because it removes them, it's self-preservation. But it's also a biblical thing behind this too. It really is. All right. And see, the biblical part about this is this. Now, let me show y'all something. So let me do it this way. I did an interview this past weekend in Charlotte, and the young lady that was interviewing me, she asked me a question about, well, Warren, why would you even get back into the fire? Why would you want to try to help people again when you lost so much that you didn't have to lose? Why would you risk everything again for people? People you know, you may not ever meet. Why would you be willing to risk everything for people that you know, you don't know if you're making a difference or not for? And I looked at her and I said, because I love us and I know what we really are. And she said, well, what do you mean you know what we really are? I said, we're gods. We're God's chosen people. And we just don't realize it, but I do. I know what we are. I know who we are. And she said, well, you sound so convinced. I said, I'm very convinced. And I said, I can show you. I can tell you how I know we're the chosen people. I said, whether you want to talk about it being the children of Israel, or if you just want to talk about it as being the favorite son. I said, however you want me to tell you about it, I will tell you, and I can show you that we are the chosen people. And she said, okay, you got to explain to me how we the chosen people. I said, if you take two groups of people, both groups made by God, if you're a biblical person. But when you mix those people, only one group is dominant. This same group can sit out in the sun and don't get burned the way the other group will. This same group has features and distinctions that no other group can have. This same group has a special thing in their DNA called melanin that is really a superpower. This same group of people has been persecuted over and over and over and over again. All these things, tell me we are the chosen one. How I'm going to turn my back on the chosen one? How I'm not going to try to let my people understand how chosen they are? How do I not try to teach them to think differently, to act differently with each other, to look at each other in a different way? What kind of person would I be if I just said, well, I lost everything, so to hell with everybody else? But why would I do that? Why would I do that? When I know for a fact we the chosen ones. I'm just looking at this from, and I'm not even this. Look, let me just be honest with y'all. This ain't even about race for me. This is about logic for me. Logically speaking, and looking at my faith, if I'm sitting here saying I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, And if I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I know the word of God. I know what it says in the Bible about the children of Israel and how they're the chosen ones. And if I look at everything within our community, logically, we got to be the damn chosen ones. I'm not saying this from a racial position. I'm saying it from a logical position. I'm saying it just from a logic-based point of view. That's all. I'm not saying it to say, well, black people are better or white people are better. I'm not saying it from that. I'm just looking at it logically. Logically, if I can go out in the sun, I ain't getting burned like somebody else. If I got melanin and they don't, if I'm steadily being persecuted and they not, if I'm to believe biblically what's in the Bible and the stories that's in the Bible, well, the Bible tells me something else that logically makes sense. All these things occurred in Africa. It wasn't blonde hair and blue eyed people in Africa. So I gotta be one of the chosen ones because the Bible telling me this, logically, it looks like this. And see, the problem is this, though. Until we realize in this country that we're the chosen one, we continue to get stepped on and walked on and everything else. The best example I can give y'all of this is this. I'm going to give you an old movie example. Y'all remember the movie with Bruce Leroy? Can you teach me some moves? You remember Bruce Leroy? The Last Dragon? When Shownuff was whooping his butt and he said, "Who's the master?" He kept putting his head in his face in the water. And finally, he realized that he was the master, that he had this glow. Do you remember that? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put y'all head in the damn water so you can wake up and realize you are the master. You the chosen one. You are the chosen one. And once we realize that in this country, it changes everything for us in this world. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. If we realize, see, just because you chosen, don't mean you, you walk in the door as everything is great. You got to internally realize it. And once you internally realize it, you start acting differently. You start thinking differently. You start changing things. That's the difference. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I do interviews all the time. When I do interviews, people, it's always amazing me because people interview me and be like, "Man, it's just something about you. What the hell?" And it's not nothing about me. It's just, I know. I know what I am. I know who I am. 90% of the people walking around have no clue who they are and what they are. That's the problem. I done had my head dunked in the water. I got that glow, baby. I'm just trying to find vanity. Can you teach me some moves? You're listening to the WB.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk.
Welcome back to the Warren Valentine Show. Heard coast to coast and border to border, giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice. Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
All right. Let me thank everybody who's watched the show, everybody who's listened to the show. Somebody said, look, I want to know how knowing all this information about we're being chosen, how does it help us in our current condition? I mean, mass incarceration, medium household wealth, $1,700, unemployment rate still double that of whites. I agree with all that. But at the same time, I also understand you have to know who you are and what you come from in order to realize what you can and should be. We have no idea how great we really are. And see, let me just bring this up here to modern times right now, right quick, right? What's happened in this country, in this America, see, when we talk about Black history, we start in America. We don't go back to Africa. We don't go back into the Caribbean where all our ancestors and cousins and uncles and everybody else was dropped off. Because, you know, I mean, hell, it was 7 million of us dropped off in Brazil. So you know you're related to somebody over there. We don't talk about that lineage. We don't talk about Haiti or the Bahamas or Bermuda. Those were folks who was dropped off over there. Y'all realize that, right? So, let me just show you what's happened in this country, right? They've done two things, well, three things very brilliantly to literally cut off the fight for Black people in this country. First thing they did, they instituted fear. They did that from day one with slaves. Then they did it with Marcus Garvey. Then they did it with Black Wall Street. Once they instituted the fear, now you have a group and a race of people who truly don't even want to stand up for themselves because they're afraid if they stand up, this is going to happen to them. If they build a town, it's going to get burned down. If they stand up and fight, you're going to get killed. You're going to get locked up. You're going to get thrown away. See, this is the thing, though. Let me show y'all something. See, this is what hurts my heart when I look and see what's going on. Even in just modern day to day, this man didn't even want to acknowledge John McCain. He didn't want to lower the flag half staff until he was buried because he felt like he was getting too much attention like a president. But when the American Legion and many, many other Americans start calling and bombarding and saying that they wanted it, he caved. The difference between us and everybody else is when one of us are in trouble, instead of us putting up our money, not just saying we praying, but actually putting our money up, we don't do it. They do it for the ones they even know are dead ass wrong. The ones they know are murderers. The ones they know have committed crimes. They still reach in their pocket and fill up the coffers to help and protect. We will not do that. We will not do it. And that's unbelievable, but that's the fear. That's the fear. The second thing that they've been able to do so brilliantly is they've convinced you that you can trust them, but not yourselves. You can't even trust your own brother, but you can trust if they tell you this, it's the gospel truth. If your brother tell you, man, I need to look that up. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But if they said, yeah, that sound right about that. Yeah, that do sound right there. That sound okay. That sound like, yeah. That's some facts right there. But see, they ain't just done this with Black folks. They've done it with their own folks now. This is why I don't even care about the race stuff no more the way I used to, because they doing it to poor whites too. All you gotta do is turn on Fox. They make them people believe stuff that is if you go watch Fox for an hour, you either going to be like, what the hell am I looking at? Or you're going to be like, these people are nuts, because they convincing people to believe something that just factually is not true. But MSNBC does it with the Democrats, too. So, I mean, it's whatever. The third thing that they've been able to do is this. Dwight Johnson just came on here. Black people ain't got no money, Warren. That's what they tell you. If black people don't have no money, Dwight, let me ask you this. I don't know where you live, but, you know, if you live in one of these major cities like New York, Chicago, L.A., Atlanta, one of the biggest cities, you know what you find in the poorest neighborhoods? You know what you find? Every tribe of mankind in there with a store. White, Asian, Latino, except for black people. Only thing we got, only thing we own is the church. And we might not even own the church. We might be leasing it out. Might be a storefront. If we didn't have no money in our communities, if we didn't have no money the way you believe in that, Dwight, they wouldn't be in our communities opening up stores. How could they survive? How could they make money? We got to have access to something, or they wouldn't be there. See, logically, you got to look at stuff a little bit different. This is about understanding who you are and knowing what you are. Because if you know, when you go in your community and you tell everybody talking about they broke, the first thing you can do is look who owns the stores in our community. If we this broke, why the hell are they here in this community? They wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be here. Nobody who does business is going to purposely open up a business in a place they can't make money. Think about that. And I don't care what somebody's research is saying. I'm telling you, all I got to do, just logically speaking, what fool is going to go open? Let me go open up this beauty supply store in this neighborhood where there's no women to buy beauty supply stuff. That don't even make sense. It makes no sense at all. But they convince you, well, y'all ain't got no money over here. Look at the research. You only got $1,700 over here. Yeah, but if you got 30,000 people over there, if they collectively put their money together, they would have some money. Look, if you don't do nothing else, tell somebody you love them and appreciate them. May not get that chance tomorrow. That's why I tell you every day, I love you with the love of Jesus. Not trying to push religion on you. I don't even claim it. I claim spirituality. Yes, I know the letter J didn't exist when he was on earth, so you don't have to add me. I know the real name. God willing, same truth fighter time, same truth fighter channels tomorrow. Get your radio stuff in this week. Get the emails in and let us know you're down with the beauty supply. Talk to you guys tomorrow. You listen to the WB.